ฮัลโหล
Hi, Hannah.
Hello.
How are you?
Doing good.
Good. I'm going to go on mute because it's noisy in here.
Okay.
Okay.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. So we're starting with verse 315. In section 59. L'shem yichud kudsha b'richu ishkin te bit hiluur himuud hiluud hiluur himu. L'yakta l'shem yud he b'vav he b'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. L'imud Torah mitzvah. L'asok Torah mitzvah. V'ayhi no'am Adonai Elohinu aleinu ma'asei yadenu kunane aleinu ma'asei yadenu kunanehu. L'ahat ha'cherev. Inun dim lachatan, esha v'kos tiri, al rashechon, irashi aya, v'haya v'aya, umit hap, kim, yivavnim lekama, zanin lefum, archaihu, Divne nasha, bialda lahat, imadiat, amer belihat, o tam hayom, haba wigomer, veha itmar. The bright blade of a revolving are all those who blaze fire and severe punishment upon the heads of the wicked and the sinners. The shapes change themselves into several kinds of judgments, according to the actions of the humans. They are called bright, as it is written, and the day that is coming shall burn them up. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, we found out yesterday that the bright blade of the revolving sword was the boomerang effect of our actions, which created the judgments. And I would think that "and the day that is coming shall burn them up" could possibly be two things. My first thought was, well, the day that is coming sounds like, you know, the world that is coming. But I think it also could mean the day that one completes or continues to do teshuvah for those actions. That's my thoughts.
Okay. The day that is coming is usually whenever you see the word "the" and "day" after it, it's usually referring to the judgment day that will happen if, God forbid, we allow the Armageddon war to manifest. And this verse is talking about the angel / devils.
Okay. I'm looking at it from an individual standpoint rather than
Right. There was really nothing that you said that was incorrect. It's just, I'm giving you a different perspective on it.
Right.
Malka, we're talking about verse 3:15.
Okay.
As I said, there's absolutely nothing wrong with what you said. It's just, it's a different perspective. And also, typically with code words, whenever you, it's like whenever you see the word king in the scroll of Esther that doesn't have the word the associated with it, then it's talking about King Ahasuerus. But if you see the king, it's talking about Hashem. So it's the same idea here. When it talks
Go
ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I was wondering, why would they use the word bright?
Because they're essentially saying that this is an aspect of light.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But in the negative context.
Well, I don't think that light is ever in a negative context. Light always is an indication of sweetening judgment.
Okay, so it's in context of judgment?
Well, yes, that's what we talked about yesterday about the bright blade of a revolving. It's the effect, which is the judgment.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't putting it together with the sword. I see that it says in the bright blade.
Right.
For some reason, I just have a picture. I think I was thinking about it yesterday, and I remember the minister that taught on that. It was a lady, and I just have this picture of an angel in front of a gate with this sword going round and round. So whether that was a handout or a painting or, but that's the picture. So I think my visual picture was in my head before the words were.
So. I understand. I think the visual picture you have in your head is one that most people have reading the words. The bright blade of a revolving sword to guard the way to the Garden of Eden. So it's clear. Most people perceive it as that there's an angel standing there with the sword. But as we learn in the Zohar, as we talk about different code words, we need to understand what we're saying. A blade is obviously that of judgment. The revolving is it's constantly changing. And the brightness is the connection to mercy, connection to sweetening the judgment.
I noticed the word they are called. Called is all caps. So that means, how shall I put it in? So they are bright. Would have been what would have been there if he hadn't put the word called.
It's interesting because in my reading the word called is not in caps.
Wow.
It's this part of the last sentence. It says they are called bright, as it is written, and then it goes into the verse from Malachi.
Mm-hmm. Well, this one is capitalized. But I think mine must be earlier. I think we talked about that one time. Mine is in an earlier version. It had just come out when I got it, so
okay. I'm sure. Sometimes I read from a book that's a printed book, and sometimes, like tonight, I'm reading from the computer screen where the Zohar is available for free. So.
Okay.
All right, verse 3:16. Ha cherev da cherev la Hashem, kada acherev la Hashem malei adam wagomer amaya bi Yehuda lahat acherev kol inun kasterin il tata demit hapkin midyok na lidyok hana kol hom manan al alma le avasha ulasta a lon lechayave alma de avrin al pikude de marechom. They are called swords, which is the sword of Hashem, as it is written, the sword of Hashem is filled with blood. Rabbi Yehuda said that the flames of the sword are the avengers below, in this world, who change from one shape to another. They are given charge of harming and accusing the wicked who transgress their master's mitzvot. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Did yours say mitzvot? Or you just...
In English it says commands. I don't like to leave the word command that way, so I say
mitzvot. I know, but I like to mark in my book. You know, that if I put mitzvot, then I know that we changed it. Okay.
Any other questions or comments about this verse?
Well, to me it's clear as written, but swords kind of sounds a little bit more, what would the word be? Yeah. I guess because isn't that one of the... before deaths is with the sword. Like it would be harsh judgment.
Well, do you think Hashem ever has harsh judgment?
No, but I think our actions can cause something very bad.
But even when our actions require the effect of harsh judgment, that's done by Elohim. It's not done by Hashem. Even the flood.
That's all right. Go ahead. Well, I was doing a project and walked past the TV. Tony was watching the news. There were 5 murders in our area in 24 hours. And I don't know, I guess that's why it felt like sword and blood. And no, it's not Hashem doing it, but you know, it's the boomerang effect of our actions, and that to me made the sword sound a little bit stronger judgment.
Well, the sword is judgment, but the statement "the sword of Hashem" implies a sweetening of the judgment, and then you have this verse from Isaiah, where the sword of Hashem is filled with blood. And it's hard to understand. The sword is judgment, and obviously blood is judgment. But Hashem is never judgment according to the teachings of Kabbalah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I could say, well, maybe let's say one of these persons that died because they were killed, okay? How do we know that that wasn't sweet judgment, that something in the future they would have done, which would have been even, you know, caused even greater?
We don't know, and it's not up to us to judge that. But we do know that the reason that they die is because there was a judgment in the spiritual court that said it's time. So the way the person died did not have to be by another human being. Because when another human being killed that person, then that other human being is going to have that effect in their life. But the fact that the person died is not the responsibility. I mean, it's not, the cause is not the person killing them. The cause is their own actions that came from before. And whenever you see a context of judgment with the name Hashem, it's implying a sweetening of the judgment.
Okay.
One of the ways to understand this, and it's something that I find amazing, but I don't really know how to explain it well, so I'm going to try. If somebody does something that requires a very strong, harsh judgment effect, Hashem's mercy is to split that harsh judgment effect into sweetened levels where the person can handle the judgment. Maybe a little bit of chaos will happen one day, and then the next day, and then the next day, so that when all are put together on the scales of justice in the spiritual world, all of those acts of chaos are attributable to this harsh judgment effect. Because we have this spiritual law, and you've heard the adage, Hashem never gives someone something that they cannot handle. And this is one of the explanations that the sages have given us for the length of the exile. Because according to the prophecies, the exile was to have ended approximately 400 years after the destruction of the first temple. The second temple would have become the third temple if we were following what we were supposed to do. That's one of the writing, one of the stories, one of the aspects that the Kabbalah teaches. There are also other explanations for why the exile has gone on so long. But always understand, since nobody can receive any effect that is greater than they can handle, Hashem, in his mercy, presents those effects with, you know, a little bit here, and then a little bit the next day or the next week, and a little bit the week after, a little bit in this lifetime, and a little bit in the next lifetime. Mm-hmm. So that eventually, when it's all put together on the spiritual judgments, it's the person is going to say, yes, this is the harsh effect, harsh judgment that I deserve, that I created for myself. But all these little nicks and bits and pains all add up to harsh judgment in total. I hope that explanation is helpful.
Yes, I think you explained that before. I think we've had a similar in the advanced reincarnation class one time.
Right. I just find it, I contemplate it quite a bit because it's...
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes
so,
you see people who have things just happen. It seems like bad things are always happening to them, you know. And it makes you wonder if that's the case.
And more than likely it is. If you have somebody who's constantly having bad luck, quote unquote bad luck,
mm-hmm.
that's probably that situation. And that's also why we have the teaching in the basic class 6 of, you know, ask for more pain, because what you're doing is bringing all those little nicks and pains and aspects of this judgment, you know, rather than lengthen out the process, bring it into you right now. So that, you know, and obviously Hashem monitors that, so you're never going to get more than you truly can handle. Verse 3:17. Tachatzei kewan dehavadam amshich aleya kamazanin bishin vekama gardine nimusin vedachil mikalho vilayakil lekaima Alaihu Shalomo Yadah Mata Ila Avishave Leyakuchabarihu Itra Demalkuta Da Wahawo Dahale Mineya Kol Alma Gewan Dehav Amshich Aleya kama zainin bishin bekama gardine nimusin vedachil mikalho ukten yakilu leavasha leya umadahawa bideya Nitalu Mineya. Come and see. Once man sinned, he drew upon himself a number of evil spirits and judges and judgments, of which he was terrified and could not subdue. Solomon was versed in supernal wisdom, and the Holy One, blessed be he, crowned him with royalty. Hence all the people of the world feared him. But when he sinned, he drew upon himself many harmful and punitive agents and weavers of judgments, namely judgment mongers, and he feared them all. They were able to harm him, and all that he had they took away from him. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, it reminds me of the higher spiritual level a person is, the greater can be the fall.
The greater the fall and the harsher the criteria.
Mm-hmm.
The higher one is spiritually, the more fine the scale of judgment. But as I'm reading this, I don't understand it. Now, I don't see any verse in the Torah, and I don't know where Solomon lost everything.
He married the Pharaoh's daughter, you remember?
Yes. I remember, but Solomon married Pharaoh's daughter, but he didn't lose his kingdom. he lost, his children lost, what the kingdom was split in two with his children, but not with him. Now, maybe that's what they're referring to.
Mm-hmm. Didn't he also get horses? And wasn't that was one of the commands not to do?
He had too many wives and too many horses. He did sin. There's no question. But it's just I don't see where it's. I'm just questioning the whole idea. I'm not questioning the verse that it reads. I just don't remember. I don't remember in the Tanakh where I saw this effect. Usually, when I see, you know, when I read the verses, either the verses, you know, the quoted citation tells me about it, or I know the story. But this one, I don't really see. I'm not saying it's not true. I know it's true. Mm-hmm. I just don't know where it's coming from in the Tanakh.
Well, the namely judgment mongers, that's all in caps in this version.
Okay. It's not here.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Midrash stories and stories that we'd read to the children about Solomon and how he dealt with the evil side.
Right.
So...
But, you know, the idea of him drawing upon himself these harmful and punitive agents and weavers of judgments and judgment mm-hmm. monger. I mean, I'm not sure what a monger is, per se, in this context. But if I saw mongrel, I'd understand it. But mm-hmm. a monger is someone who wants something. So, and the angels... You know, the negative angels definitely want judgment. It's human beings that are afraid of judgment, unless they're righteous. Then they're saying, you know, why do I have to wait? And they know they have to wait is because the other people haven't reached their level yet.
And then, you know, known for his wisdom, I would think that he would know... Why, you know, it says, and he feared them all, he would know repercussions from the negative side. So I can see why he would understand that he had something to fear
right.
about it, you know, his own mistakes.
We're out of time, but the next verse is short. I haven't read it, but let's do it just in case, because we might be able to finish tomorrow, depending on what happens. So
okay.
Verse 3:18. We all da bamer de azel barnash unhahu archa di itabak beya hake mashis. Aleah Hela Mimana the Azel Likivulea Kach Adam Hawa Mashik Aleah Hela Akara Misav Desaev Leah Ukal B'nei Alma. Hence, by his actions and according to the path he chooses, man draws upon himself emissaries that go towards him. Adam, by his sin, drew upon himself another defiled force, and that force defiled him, and all mankind after him. Questions? Comments, thoughts?
I think it's saying that our actions don't just affect ourselves, it affects our descendants. And of course, we see that in several of the biblical characters in the beginning. The sins of the fathers are repeated by the next generation.
Well, that's the literal reading of the Torah, of the Tanakh. But in Deuteronomy, it says, no man receives the judgments or for the sins of another. And this is this what you're referring to, to 3 or 4 generations, which is in Yitro, it's in the Esther Devot. It's right, it's part of the first utterances, actually. And, we need to try and reconcile that, and the Kabbalah does so by teaching that in the Esther Devot, with the first mitzvah, we're given this idea of reincarnation, that the sins of the father are visited on the children. The children is the same soul in a different body and having been reincarnated. But the literal reading, the way most of the world reads it, is they think that the sin of the father does get visited on the children. And the sociologists have run studies that they think prove that. In that if someone is born in poverty, it's harder for them to come out of poverty than if someone is born to wealth. But they're not looking at what is the previous incarnation, so they never really see the whole truth.
Well, I was thinking of a more practical way. I remember, Tony learned to sew buttons and when he was in the Army, and he would often go get my sewing basket if a button fell off of his shirt, and he would sew his own button. Well, one day I noticed my youngest son was sewing on a button that he had lost off his shirt. He didn't come and ask me to sew the button, and I think he just took for granted if his daddy did it, he was supposed to do it too. That was what I was kind of thinking of. It's just like someone who has an alcoholic parent. It's not that sin or that trait passes down to that child necessarily, but if that's what they've seen, then they're more likely to have alcohol in their homes. And that's what I was thinking of, because I do remember. I mean, that's a big part of an advanced reincarnation is, it's really ourselves coming back in another generation.
Yes. And just using that example, and many people will say, there are DNA, there is genes that lend themselves to the effect of alcoholism. Mm-hmm. So if the father is an alcoholic and they pass that gene to the next generation, they will have a tendency to alcoholism, but it doesn't mean that they also have chosen that father and that family life to teach them what not to do. And some admit and don't become alcoholics even though they carry the gene.
Well, another good session. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we will speak to you tomorrow, Bizrat Hashem.
Okay.
And we're going to start. 19 will start tomorrow.
Okay, I'll mark it.
Okay. Everyone have a beautiful evening and have much peace in your life, and happy Valentine's evening for those of you who are celebrating. Shalom.
Shalom, thank you.